Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
We want to know you, God. We thank you, dear God, that you have allowed us to hear your voice, heed to your voice, and follow you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, for this sermon that you placed in our heart, oh God, that we would adhere to your word and move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. I'm just excited to be back. I just thank God for the conference. It was a great conference. Great words went forth. Life of a warrior. We are still learning to walk that out. Amen. It was last week, but how many had some warrior kind of tests this week? Some of us, right? But what I do know is that if you haven't been tested, get ready, because the test is going to come. And we got to remember that God has called us overcomers if we trust in his son. Amen. So we have to be ready and willing. And I'm just thankful for all the pastors, all the people that sang, everybody that did anything there. It was a powerful thing. And I'm just thanking God for what he's done. And I'll tell you guys right now, get ready. Get ready, because next year, I'm planning already. Amen. The Life of a Warrior Conference will start on the 11th. It will be on November 11th, 12th, and 13th if we are still here. Amen. The dope thing is it starts on a Veterans Day. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm still trying to figure that out. We might have to go the next weekend, but that won't work because it's my anniversary weekend. So we're going to figure it out. Amen. But we might do something on the Veterans Day. That means people will be off, though. So that means they should come. Amen. So, yeah, we're still going to do it on Veterans Day, because the ultimate vet for us is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He died, but he rose back to life. Today, we're talking on a new series. I don't know if it's a series or not, but we're going to talk on be diligent. Somebody say be diligent. Now, I was praying diligently today, trying to get discernment. My wife was like, man, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to find out what God wants me to talk about today. So I was praying and just sat in the room and just listened to what God was saying. And, you know, sometimes you'll have your mind running with a whole bunch of different things. There was things that happened during the week that I could have preached about. But I was like, no, God, I want to hear exactly what you have to say. So I diligently waited on God. And it's important to do that. Amen. So he finally told me, be diligent. I want you to preach on being diligent. And when I heard that, it was like, all right, whew, got the sermon done and I'm ready. But diligence is something that we all must learn to become. We must become diligent in our life, in this walk with Christ. Amen. Now, what does diligent mean? I broke it down. Diligent is an adjective that means it is not who you are, but it is something that you must do. All right. Adjectives are something that you do, right? What's another adjective? Help me out real quick. This English lesson. What's another adjective? Something that you do. What's the adjective? Work. Okay, you got to work. That's a adjective. Now, if it was worker, that's who you are. But working or worker, work. I almost messed up my English lesson. Anyway, diligent is something that you do, and it is characterized by being steady, earnest, and energetic. All right? How many of us are energetic? I'm always energetic. My kids be like, Daddy, where do you get that energy? I'm like, man, God just blessed me with it. That is something that I try to continue to have, though. How many know if you don't want energy, you can make yourself think you don't have energy? Be like, I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. Right? But we must be diligent. Now, diligent comes from let me break the word down. It comes from a Latin word, which is called diligere, which means to value highly, take delight in. But in English, it is always meant careful and hard worker. If you are a diligent worker, you don't just bang away at your job. You earnestly try to do everything right. Somebody say right. Although being lucky and talented doesn't hurt, it is the diligent person who eventually succeeds. Okay? Now, how many have ever played sports or even watched some of your favorite athletes? You know, we watch them in their sports, in their games, but I was watching this week, I was watching Steph Curry working during the off season. Somebody say the off season. That means they don't really have to work if they don't want to work, but it is optional. And he was the league's MVP. So he was the best in the league last year, right? But he still went to work, and he didn't do it slouchly. He did it what? Diligently. He went to go work, and he's in the gym. He got these things pulling him, and he's trying to go do a jump shot, and he goes do a jump shot, and it pulls him back. He's running. He's learning to dribble the ball and shoot with the other hand at the same time. I mean, he's doing a whole bunch of different things because he wants to get better, right? And he wants to just get better in his profession, which is basketball, right? Now, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how Precious's job, they expect her to get better. They expect you, when you go to your job, it don't matter how good you are, they expect you to get better. Right? And if you don't get better, there's something wrong with you. But we have to say the same thing. God, in my walk with you, I want to get better. Right? When it comes to reading the word, I want to be more consistent. I want to be diligent in reading his word. I want to be diligent in prayer, and I want to be diligent in sharing the gospel. That means I have to be energetic. Steady and ready, I think that's a good thing we can look at. Diligent means you're ready to do this thing because this is something that's already inside of me. Amen? We have to look at and ask ourselves, when's the last time we diligently shared the gospel? When it wasn't something that somebody forced upon us, it wasn't something that we was like, oh, this is what we knew. We need to be ready and willing to share the word of God. Amen? So I got four things that we're going to talk about that we should be diligent in. And these are some things that God just shared with me today that I want to share with you. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 8:17. The first thing that we must be diligent in is seeking God's face. Amen. We must be diligent in seeking God's face. Now, sometimes we all get caught up in just saying a prayer because, God, I need you to show up, right? Everybody been there? God, I need you to show up. It'd be great, God, if you could show up. Lord, hey, I have this situation. God, I'm knocking. You said if I knock, you answer the door, right? Answer the door, God. But after you get your answer, you're not seeking God. You decide him for your circumstance. But as you grow in a relationship with God, you begin to realize, man, the most important thing is me spending time with God. Because when I spend time with God, it's powerful. Amen? It's powerful because that is what I was created to do. You know what I'm saying? When you look at Adam and Eve, they spent time with God. It said they walked with God in the cool of the day. I mean, the crazy thing is, since there was no sin, there was no boundary between Adam and Eve and God. Wasn't any boundary. But since we do have boundaries now, we have to seek out God. And guess what? It says, if you seek, you shall find. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verse 17. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. All right? Now, when we look at this, this is talking about wisdom, but the ultimate wisdom is God. God loves those who love him. Okay? And when you seek him diligently, you will find him. What does that look like when we're praying? Are we seeking? And sometimes, even in the middle of our prayers, we should say, okay, God, I'm sorry for just coming with all these different type of things that were plaguing my mind right now. God, allow me to really seek you right now. Allow me to spend this time with you so I just want to be diligent in knowing who you are. Because the worst thing is somebody that had a prayer life their whole life, somebody that can read the word, but somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God. That's the worst thing. Amen? So we have to be diligent in seeking his face. Hebrews 11:6 also talks on that. And it doesn't look like this is going to be a series. I'll get done with this today. Amen? But it says, but without faith, somebody say without faith, it is impossible to please him. All right, we all know that, right? Can't please God without faith. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right? So faith, having faith will encourage you to seek God. Amen? Because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot seek God because you don't think that he really is. So you have to have faith. And then it says you have to have faith to please him. So even when we look at this, faith pleases God. And when you please God, you must believe that he is. And then you must diligently seek after him. Now, a lot of us, we believe in God, right? We believe that God is a great God. We even want to please him, but sometimes we stop there and we don't diligently seek him. Amen. And it's our job to learn to seek God out, to seek his face. And once again, not just come with these prayers that we have. That's why sometimes you can get so caught up in praying for people and praying for other things that you don't just spend time with God and just say, God, what's on your heart? I just want to hear from you. I don't even want to say too much, Lord. I just want to worship you. I think the thing I love to do the most in prayer is to sing to God. I love to worship God. Worship is something that I love to do. I don't have to be even if my voice is not even all the way up, I'm going to sing to the Lord. Amen. I sing every day to God because I want him to be pleased and I want to seek him out. Amen. I was telling my kids, I was like, we were on the way to school and I preached to my kids like they at least get one sermon a week. Amen. So they were talking about praise and worship. And I was like, see, I can't make you praise God. I can't make you worship God. It has to be something you want to do. Now, I said, I can whoop you and you get up and sing, but you have an attitude. Right. But when it's something that you want to do because you realize how good God is, nothing is going to stop you from doing that. Amen? But if you don't want to worship, you won't worship. If you don't realize how good God is, if you're not thankful, you won't worship. Amen? Some of us realize that he's good, but then we still keep our mouth shut when it's time to worship. But we have to seek his face diligently. Amen. So we must be diligent in seeking God's face. We also must be diligent in the work of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to 2 Peter 3, verse 14 through 18. We must be diligent in the work of the Lord. And it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Okay. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. So they, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. All right, so there was a couple things. We have to be diligent in the work that God has for us. And it says, and be found without spot or blemish. Now, the only way you'll be known If you have a spot or a blemish, is if you're in the presence of God. My mom was talking about how God warned her in a dream to basically get right. Right? That happens plenty of times when you have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, I know some people that are in the world, or this was a wake-up call for them to change their lifestyle. I knew a guy that had a dream three times that he was going to die. And then he was like, I don't know why I'm having this dream. So he called a pastor. He's like, hey, I'm having this dream that I'm going to die. What should I do? And the pastor said, you need to give your life to the Lord. And he gave his life to the Lord, and he's been walking since then. Amen. So God will warn us to get right. Amen. That's the great thing about God. Some of us, if we're wondering, God, am I doing the right thing? He's going to either tell you through somebody that preaches. He's going to tell you through some random person that just says a scripture that you're like, man, that was powerful. Or he's just going to use, if you read the word, he'll show it to you. But what this scripture was saying is you have to be diligent in the work to be found without spot or blemish. Go through suffering, because through the suffering, you'll realize that I have salvation, because there's something that's trying to stop that. Right? When you are suffering for the kingdom, the Bible says, count that joy, consider that joy. Amen. But then it talked about other people who started to be destructive in how they spread the word of God. Amen. So when we are being diligent in the work of the Lord, we also must be diligent in understanding his word. Amen. Because if we're not, guess what? We will be with spot and blemish. But he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Somebody say beware. Come on, everybody say beware. Beware. All right, I was going to say it one more time. Beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Now, steadfastness is somebody that's continuing in something, right? Which is another word for diligence. Beware, lest you stop being diligent because you are not taking heed to what the word of God is really saying. All right? That's important. Because it says, being led away by the error of the wicked. We cannot be led by them. Amen? People that twist words or the scripture, the super wise person that wants to share the word, and he's just sharing a whole bunch of words that you don't even understand. What good is that? If I just started preaching in a different language that you guys didn't know, what good is that? Right? It's not that good. But we have to know the word of God. The word of God should not be a foreign language to us that are in the word of God. Amen? We have to know it. And when somebody comes with something that's not of God, it shouldn't be like, oh, well, maybe we should try that. That's an interesting philosophy. No, it's not. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I won't partake in that. And I'll tell you, that's not the truth. That's not what the word of God says. And sometimes they take one scripture out of the context. If they just read around it, it's not talking about what they're talking about. So it's very important that we be diligent in the work of the Lord. But also it starts with being diligent in the word of God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. It's not too far. 1 Peter 1. Verses 1 through 11, all ones. How about that? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, to the elect, according to, I don't know why I didn't say to in this one. It should say, this is who this is to. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. So Peter's just telling them, hey, I'm writing this to you. That's what he's saying right there, okay? I'll just shorten it down. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. All right. So we understand that through Jesus Christ, we have a living hope. And it's only because of the mercy of God. It says to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. So God has something planned for you that will not be taken away and it will not be tampered with. For you, but it doesn't just say you, everybody. It says for you who are kept, all right, by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, even I can say something about that kept, but it's very important to understand that if you start this race but don't finish this race, you're not going to enter in to where the finishers enter in. Amen? Now, people have a hard time, oh, but God is going to keep me. And yeah, but if you don't listen to the voice of God, you're now listening to your own voice, which is really what the devil did. Amen? So the devil listened to the voice of God when he was in heaven, right? But then he said, I got a different voice. I'm going to listen to my own voice. So for those people that get saved, you have to listen to the voice of God and not turn away from his voice, or else you'll be doing the same thing the devil does, because you have been caught up and puffed with pride and you think that you know better than what God knows. Amen. That's why it says be humble. We talked about the scripture for the conference. Humble yourself. Seek his face. Pray. Right. You have to humble yourself. That's important to saying, God, I need the answer, instead of saying, God, I got the answer. How many of us go to God with the answer? If we do, that's not the right way. Amen? So we have to be kept by the power of God. And we have to allow ourselves to be kept. All right? Through faith. Once again, there goes faith. For salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, all right? So we rejoice in what God has done, but there's going to be different things that happen on this earth, amen, that are not going to be happy, but we continue, amen, because some people stop there. Oh, it's too hard. I keep saying that because a lot of people, they just, Christianity is too hard. I wish it was just easy, right? If it was easy, everybody would do it. But since it's not easy, it takes those that endure to the end. Everybody doesn't endure to the end, right? Have you ever seen a game where it was a blowout? Everybody went home, they thought it was over, and the team just couldn't hold on. At the other team says, hey, we're going to win this game. I don't care if we're down 40 in this halftime. The coach gives them a nice little talk, and he might have said some choice words. We don't know. But he said, get in there, go play, and just keep on keeping on to the end. Don't quit. Right? Now, when I play video games and I'm beating somebody bad, I tell them, don't quit. It'll be better. You might learn something. This is for real, though. You might learn something that will help you next time. Okay? And even me, if I'm getting beat, I tell them I don't want to quit. I want to watch and learn something that I can use from this game so I can learn how to win. Amen? That's why when you're playing any game, never quit. Because you can learn from losing how to win next time. Amen? And I'm not playing. I'm very serious. You have to learn. Amen? All right. It says, verse 7, that the genuineness, let me start at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. All right. But why are we grieved by these trials? It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. All right. So you're going through something so that your faith will be shown genuine. Amen. It says, Even though it's tested by fire, it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. So if we look at it, we're going through a testing, right? We're going to go through trials and tribulations so that we continue to trust God and that our faith is matured, but also that our faith is steadfast, is continuing. Our faith must be diligent to show that we still love God despite what's going on in this world. Amen. And we rejoice because we know, okay, God, I know I'm going through this, but I thank God that I'm saved. When you take your mind off everything you go through and just begin, it said, what does it say? It says, you may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Next time you're going through something hard, begin to say, God, I thank you that I know who you are because you're great. My situation's a mess right now, but God, you're great. My life is jacked up, but I thank God that you're great. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory, because now what you're beginning to do is you're taking your eyes off your circumstances, because sometimes our circumstances become a station. Amen. And we just get stuck there working on our station, that workstation. Amen. But like Akbar said, you have to go look at it from another angle. Look at it from a different dimension. When you look down, guess what? When you look down, as God looks down, that's nothing. Let me just move this thing out of the way for him to get there. I know the way. But if you're not looking to God, you're trying to run through the concrete wall. When if you walked a couple hundred feet that way, there was a door to get through. Amen. But we have to look to God. Amen. Verse 10 says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of that grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicated when he testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Okay, so when we think about this, there is going to be a suffering, but there is also going to be a glory that follows. Amen? This is kind of going on with that warrior theme. You're going to suffer, but you're going to be glorious in God if you realize that even if they kill me, I get to be with God. And there's nothing greater than that. Amen? Your iPad Pro that just came out is not greater than being with God. Your Maserati is not greater than being with God. Amen? Whatever you value in this life is not greater. And some of us, our values might not be that high yet, right? But that new Tesla is not greater than the value of being glorious in God. It might be nice to have it while you're down here, but that's about it. If somebody's going to kill you or take your car, if you're smart, you let them have your car. Right? Amen? But I'm one of the people, have my car. That has no value to me. But if they say, we're going to kill you unless you get rid of Christ, we can't get rid of Christ. That's something I'm not going to do. Amen. I can't deny him. I have to be true to my God. Amen. So it's very important that we do that. Let's keep on going. Let's go to Romans 12. I actually memorized this in school. It's one thing I definitely think about Christian school is they make you... you have the opportunity to memorize the word of God. Amen. All right. We're talking about being diligent in the work of the Lord. This is the last one we're going to talk about before we move on to the next statement. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. All right. Abhor means obviously get rid of. All right. Don't be even close, but cling to what is good. This is what it means to be diligent. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. What does that mean? We have to, as Christians, we have to get to a place where we prefer somebody else over us. Amen? So that means if you at the church potluck and all they got is one rib left, and you want that rib back, but somebody else wants it, what should you do? You don't flip a coin. You don't be like, well, Deacon, you haven't been here for 3 weeks, but I'm going to go ahead and get this. You don't do that. You prefer them. You let them have what I always talk about with my wife is you let them have the right of way. When you're driving, whoever, the person that's turning right or is going straight, they always have the right of way. But in Christianity, we let, not while you're driving, though, please don't do this. Because if you don't drive the way you're supposed to, somebody else behind you is not going to drive the way they're supposed to, and it could cause an accident. I'm just saying. But in our preferences, we must prefer. Oh, we talked about preferences a couple weeks ago, right? We must prefer somebody else ahead of us. What does that mean? We must honor them higher than we honor ourselves. Amen? And not in a jokingly type of way. We must honor them. That is the true essence of Christ. Christ came to honor people. Number one, he came to honor God, but he also said, I'm going to be a servant. That means I'm going to serve everybody else. And then he said, whoever's going to be the greatest is the one that's going to serve. So we have a lot of serving to do. Amen? All right, it says, in honor, giving preference to one another, we also should not be lagging in diligence. All right? That means we must keep on going. This is part of the, it says in here, it says, behave like a Christian. We must continue to do the work of God. Be fervent in the spirit. What does fervent mean? That means I got energy in the spirit. The spirit of God is really what gives me energy. Amen. How many have ever preached the word, shared the word of God? You feel something inside of you. You're excited. You want to keep on going. If we don't have a time limit, we're going to preach all day. Why? Not because we like to talk, but because you feel the presence of God and it is keeping you going. Now, it's great when pastors and preachers understand that fervency is not on everybody. Everybody can't take a long sermon. Amen? But we must be serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, being diligent in your prayers, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. These are things that we must be diligent in doing. That means we must continue to do these things because these are the things that show people that you're a Christian. Do you know the way that you act can make people love Christianity or hate it? Right? It talks about this in the scriptures. It says many people despise Christianity because of the hypocrisy that many people live in. But Romans 12, verse 9, it starts off with, let love be without hypocrisy. Let us not be hypocrites. Let us not act like we love God. Let us love God. Amen? Verse 14 continues, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Amen? How many have ever heard or talked with somebody that thinks they know everything? And no matter how much they are wrong, they think they know everything. Right? So you really can't correct somebody that thinks they know everything. Right? You must be humble. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, this is very important. There is a time for war, right? God is not against war because there's so much war that's going on right now, even in the spiritual realm, that God and his angels are fighting for you. Amen? There is a war that is a right war. But there's also people that fight for the wrong things. We talked about that at the conference. Some people fight for the wrong things, and what does that look like? They're fighting for themselves. Oh, this is for me. But when you're fighting for righteousness, justice, and peace, then it's time to fight. But we don't just start fights. Amen? It's important. It says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. But if it doesn't depend on you, sometimes you're going to have to protect this house. Amen? I must protect this house. Amen? Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the job that a Christian should be doing diligently. Now, we watched this movie, Do You Believe? Is that the movie we just watched? It was a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I challenge you to go watch it. Amen? But there was a scene in there, and I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to give the story away. But there was a scene where one person helped out somebody that was destroying his life. Right? Saved that other person's life. And that person was like, why did you do that? He was heaping hot coals. They're trying to figure out what in the world. Why would this person who I'm trying to destroy help me out? Why? Because that's what Christians do. Even though you hate me, let me help you. Even though I can't stand you. I don't know if you guys had any situations like that. I have. Even though I can't stand that person, I'm still going to show them the love of Christ. I'm still going to show them what it looks like to be a Christian. I'm going to be diligent. Amen? Hebrews chapter, well, it looks like this is going to be a series because I got too much. Actually, no, that chapter is not that long. That's right. All right, no, we're gonna finish this today. Hebrews chapter 4, one thing we must be diligent is being diligent in entering into his rest. Amen? Sometimes you have to rest in God. Sometimes we need a rest in God. If we don't learn how to rest in God, we'll be stressed. Amen? So rest so you don't be stressed. Therefore, in Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us all as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Okay, so one thing to be diligent is to allow the word of God to not just be heard, but it must be mixed with faith. And the Bible says in James that faith without works is dead. So when we hear the word of God, we say, okay, I believe that word. Now let me act on that word. Amen? Then I can enter into his rest. All right? Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4 says, for he who has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience. So disobedience is something that will keep you from entering into the rest of God. Amen. See, some of us are diligently disobedient. What does that look like? I heard the word of God, but God, you know, that was great. That was 1900 type, you know, like, look, we in the 2000s. We need to change this just a tad bit because it ain't working right now, God. You know, I heard what you said, but I want to make up my own philosophy. You're being disobedient. And then you're diligent in your disobedience because you act on what you believe. How many know you're going to act on what you believe? All right? So don't be disobedient. Verse 7 says, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. All right? For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Amen? For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So that's why it's important not to work on certain days. Now, I didn't make that up, but we should learn how to just relax. How many of you know that having a Sabbath will keep you energized throughout the week? Did you guys know that? But if you work, try this. If you work all week and you don't have a day off, that next week feels like, oh my goodness, I just can't wait. Even though you got 3 days, I mean, we got a 3 day work week this week, right? But if you didn't rest, it feels like that 3 days is the longest week ever. So you must learn to rest. Amen? Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we must be diligent in obedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature, somebody say, no creature, hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So if God sees all, we must be obedient to his word. Amen? And when his word speaks to us, we must be obedient. Amen? Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast on our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in time of need. It is very important that we be obedient to the word of God, even when we need help. You guys catch that? There's going to be times where being obedient to the word of God might cause you to lose out on some things. Right? But if you're diligent, you'd be like, okay, God, I'm just going to put it in your hands, because I know one thing, that you said the righteous will never be forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. But if you do it in your own way, your own plan, you might be hungry. You might be begging for bread. Guys, catch that? So it's our job to be diligent and to enter in his rest. The last thing, we kind of talked about it even in that, but we must be diligent in obedience. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 through 16 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. All right? You must be diligent to approve yourself to God. Now, this does not mean your works save you, but after you've been saved, you have work to do. Right? Now, some people, they don't catch that. They think, oh, you don't have to do any works. God did all the works. That's prior to salvation. But after you get saved, God gives you a purpose and a plan that you must act on. So he says, be approved before God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. All right? But rightly dividing the word of truth. So next time somebody comes to you and says something that the word of God says, you let them know that's not what the word of God says. Right? And sometimes it might seem like, dang, you're kind of, you know, like, how many ever heard somebody say that every religion is the same? Right? This week I had they call them pluralism Muslim. He was in my car. And what that means is they accept other religions too. It's kind of like, what's the other word? Anyway, and he was like, oh yeah, I go to their church. This person goes to my church and we think it's the same. So I was like, well, can I tell you the difference? It's about relationship with God. And I said, because I have a relationship with God, I can hear the voice of God. And he was like, whoa. He said, I asked him, have you ever heard the voice of God? He's like, I think when I was younger, right? And I was like, well, you can hear the voice of God by reading his word and praying to the true God. And ask God to reveal himself to you. And what that did was showed him that there is a difference. Amen? And you don't have to do it. You don't have to be ugly when telling them there's a difference. Just tell them, hey, man, there is a difference. There's a difference between whatever you believe and what we believe. The biggest difference is it's not a religious type of thing. It's not I have to do point A, point B, point C. If I do these things, then God calls me righteous. No. It's God already called me righteous if I believe in his son, amen, and accept the works that he did on the cross, defeating sin. Now, because of that, I want to do everything in my power to show that I pledge my allegiance to him. Amen. Verse 16 says, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. All right. This is what I talked about this earlier. Sometimes people just talk too much. Some Christians talk too much, or they try to prove that they are smart. But when you talk about Paul, Paul was a smart guy, but he said, I didn't come here with smart words, smart sayings. I came to let you know that all I need to tell you is that Jesus Christ died and was crucified and was risen on behalf for our sins. And if we accept that, we'll be saved. He said, I came to them with what sounds like foolishness. So when we share the gospel, some people might think it's foolish, but when they hear the gospel, they have a choice to make. Amen? So we must be diligent. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that you would allow us to be diligent in all the things that you've called us to be. Do all the things you called us to do, oh God, and seek you even more than what we've been doing, oh God. We pray to God for a new level, new understanding of who you are and what you are doing right now in this world, in this area, oh God. I thank you to God that you said, do not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we will reap, oh God. So I pray to God that you would encourage our spirits to continue to move forth in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was powerful to you, just slip your hand up. Guess what? We got work to do.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.